Sunday's a significant day, and Sunday is always significant as we come together, but it is not only the first day of the week, but it's the first day of the new year. And sometimes, you know, people pause to reflect on things that happened in the past year. And certainly 2016, there's been a lot of things that have happened, especially in our country. And I want to ask you this morning, what are your plans for the new year? Some of you may have different plans. Maybe you're expecting changes in your job. Maybe you're expecting children. Or maybe you're expecting to have new grandchildren. Maybe you're changing schools. Maybe you're doing other things. And so a lot of times we can plan, we can anticipate, but ultimately there's a lot of control that we don't have over things that happen or that may happen. The 19th century politician Benjamin Disraeli said, "What we anticipate seldom occurs. What we least expect generally happens." That may be true, that what we least expect sometimes does happen, and the things that we do anticipate sometimes don't happen. My dad used to tell me that I crossed every bridge before I got to it, and he was trying to tell me that I wasted a lot of time worrying about things that never would happen. And certainly we do know that sometimes there are things that surprise us, and some things are very welcome surprises. Sometimes things surprise us that aren't so welcome. But I think there are some things, some foundations that we can see in God's Word that help us know what it is that we can look forward to. What is it that we know is going to happen in 2017? And so we want to look ahead to God's work as it applies to us. Despite, you know, our obvious inability to know the future, we do know that God is one who controls every aspect of the future. I know in this past year there was a lot of turbulence in the election and people didn't know what was going to happen. And many people would, you know, they fall back on the fact that, you know, no matter what happens, I know that God is in control. And a lot of times people, you know, told themselves that in case things didn't work out the way that they really wanted them to, that God's ultimately in control. But we do need to remember that whatever does happen, that God is in control. He controls every aspect of the future. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you will say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times.'" And so what Jesus is trying to tell them, you're not really much better than a mediocre, you know, weatherman. Today, there's a lot of tools that people have, and still the weathermen get it wrong. Just think about back in those times. "Oh, well, look, I can tell that we're going to have bad weather because there's clouds in the sky." Well, you know, you might have some data to talk about that because you've realized that, oh, well, clouds before caused rain. And so what he's saying is you're Captain Obvious. You know exactly what's going to happen because you've seen these things happen before, but you don't really know. You don't really have an insight into things that are really going to be important and the things that are going to have an effect in your life. So he's chiding these religious leaders of the day for not being able to see the work of God in their own lifetime. God had prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, about the coming kingdom. And there were definite signs that could be seen, and certainly definite signs that they could read about, but they rejected those signs. And it's very easy for us, when we look back at the prophecies, to see how Jesus was the fulfillment of all of these different prophecies. But right there, staring them in the face, they did not see those things. And they're seeking for something else. They're seeking for other signs. And so today, we do not live in a time where God is still using miraculous signs to teach us and to predict. Even though there may be some in the world that try to tell you that He is, He's not. But there's a point here to be made about the future. That, you know, God is still working. God's still working among us, and we should be able to see it. There are things that we can anticipate, and we can look ahead to see what God will do in 2017. Hey, what's he going to do? Come on, Randy, tell us what he's going to do in 2017. Well, one thing we know is that we can anticipate God's grace. But I do know that God's going to do in 2017, He's going to save. He's going to be saving just like He's been saving before. We have seen God save the lost. And I know that He's going to continue to extend His grace to sinners who will call upon His name. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all anticipation or exception that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul realized that with his background, there may have been many that would have counted him out and written him off. But God did not do that. He saved Paul, and Paul said, I am the chief of sinners, and he saved me, and he'll save you too. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Peter is saying that God keeps His promises. God is not slack concerning His promises. In other words, you can count on what it is that He says. Other people you may not be able to count on. In fact, Peter was one that was guilty of that very thing, wasn't he? That he said he was going to do one thing and ended up doing something else. Peter's saying, God's not like that. God is not slack concerning His promise. What is His promise? He doesn't want any to perish. And so we know that God is going to continue to do that. We see it all the time. And this anticipation is very important. Number one, it's something that sustains our faith in the power of God and the power of His Word to convict the sinner. I know many times in the world today, things seem dark. And it looks like sin is abounding. But God is still drawing people near to Him. That's one reason why I wanted Brother Kyle to come and talk to us a few weeks ago, those of you that were here. Wasn't that a great lesson for us to hear? One of the great lessons was not necessarily all the things that he was saying, but just the lesson of his life, that he was one that was believing error and teaching error. And he studied the Word of God, and he believed it, and he obeyed it, even though there were things in his life that were going to be difficult for him to change. That's very powerful. That's very encouraging. And it shows this very point here that we anticipate that God's will is still in existence, and God's will is going to continue to do what it has always done. And Brother Kyle Ellison was an example of that. That God's will is able to save those who will listen to it and be obedient to it, those good and honest hearts who will respond to the call of the gospel. And nothing is going to frustrate God's power to save sinners. The only thing that frustrates it is when there's not good and honest hearts. It's when those hearts are hardened or choked by the cares of the world or choked by the cares of family and other things. But you remember Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 14. It's about a man who invited many to a great supper, and they all began to make excuses why they couldn't come. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 21. That servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I remember hearing my dad read this parable, and I often thought, I can't believe people would be invited out to dinner and not go. Because every time we were invited, we went. You know, I don't ever remember my parents making an excuse, well, you know, we'd rather eat peanut butter and jelly and hot dogs and beans at our house. No, we would want to go out with somebody else. And here is the servant that is told to go out and ask people to come in, and he has to tell them that they don't want to come. And sometimes Christians can have this negative thinking of thinking of 100 reasons why there's very few that are being saved today. And we need to be reminded, we need to see that that's not true. God would have us look at His grace and trust in the success of His Word. And if we look around, we can see it. It's like the example that I just gave. There are people who have heard God's Word and they are believing it and they are obeying it. And they will continue to do that. And we can look forward to seeing that same thing in 2017. In Romans chapter 8, Paul outlines why this is so important and what God has done for us. And Paul tells the Roman brethren in verse 32 of Romans 8, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who will make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, do we really believe what Paul is saying here? That there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God? But Randy, it's so hard today. People are making fun of Christians. I don't even want to tell people that I'm a Christian. It's not politically correct anymore to believe the Bible. It's not politically correct not to go and do the things of the world or to get up on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and refuse to go and do other things. They don't understand. They make fun of me. They think I have to lean upon a God because I'm weak. And sometimes people have that kind of attitude and they feel frustrated. Why? Because they're so worried about what everybody in the world thinks about them. Because they're tired of being the odd man out. They're tired of being different. What did Paul say? Paul didn't say, "Now you need to be concerned about what other people think. I want you to be popular. I want you to think like the world. I want everybody to look up to you and respect you. And I'm going to make sure people don't make fun of you." He didn't say that. In fact, he said a lot of pointed things. He said, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, are those things going to destroy you?" He says, "No, they're not. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." He's saying, according to the world, you know, we might as well be killed. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come, height or depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we are frustrated by the world and the world's opinion and what the media is telling us about us, you have to put it aside. You have to stop thinking about that. And you have to remember what Paul said. That even death, somebody taking your life, is not going to separate you from the love of God. The seed, the Word, is still powerful. And it needs to be sown by those that believe in the seed. Those who anticipate that there's going to be a harvest. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." I have to plant the seed. You have to plant the seed. We are God's fellow workers. God is going to save sinners in the same way He's always saved them. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Another thing that we can anticipate in a new year is blessings from God. You know, I can't stand here and tell you that I know what's going to happen in 2017. But I do know God will spiritually bless us as He has before. I anticipate good things. Now, sometimes the things I get may not be the things that I desire. It may not be something that I specifically prayed for. But I know that God gives me what's best for me because He loves me, and we need to anticipate that and be thankful for that. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Why? They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, and they wanted Jesus to know about this. They wanted what was best for Lazarus. And we see in the statement here a statement of expectation. John 11:21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And of course, Lazarus was resurrected. Martha knew that Jesus had the power to do that. And we need to confidently expect spiritual blessings. And we're told that very thing in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, why would I ask? Because I anticipate that God's going to fulfill that. Because James says so. Let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus is talking about asking God for blessings, he says, "What man is there among you who, if he asks for bread, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Jesus is referencing the family relationship. You know, when Ethan comes home from college, Jarrell wants to make things that he will eat, and he will eat those things. She wants to give good gifts to him. She wants to give him something that he would want. And Jesus says, you know, a father, if his son asks for bread, isn't going to give him a rock. A family knows how to give good gifts to each other. And God is the same way. Your Father in heaven is going to give good things to those who ask him. Paul promised the Philippian brethren, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So we anticipate in 2017 that God will bless us, and we will pray for blessings. We need to anticipate God's guidance, that He will lead. This is no different than any other year, is it? That we anticipate God's guidance. There are many who sometimes don't seem to know what it is they need to do. They don't know what to do. And sometimes people don't have any confidence in their leaders. I know sometimes in a work situation, there may be a boss that you particularly like, and then something changes, and your new boss doesn't operate the way the old one did, and you wonder, how is this person going to lead? He doesn't even know how to use apostrophes correctly in his email. This is all hypothetical, right? This person doesn't even know how to make paragraphs out of sentences. He doesn't know how to communicate. How am I going to follow this person that doesn't know how to communicate with you? How am I going to follow this person that doesn't understand what my role is or my job is? And sometimes there's changes in leadership. There's changes in the country in leadership, and there's some thing like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to have a new leader. And there's others that look and say, I don't know how I'm going to follow this person. But the thing that we can have confidence in as Christians is that we know who is our leader. We know that we can follow. We know that we should follow. What I'm saying is that we can have great confidence in a leader. If there's any leader in your life that you can have confidence in, it is Jesus Christ. You can have every confidence that God is going to lead you in the right way. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23, here we see God giving a promise to Joshua as he is about to take over from Moses and lead the Israelites into the promised land. Deuteronomy 31, verse 23, then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." A couple of very positive things there. As he said, you need to be of good courage because you're going to complete this. You're going to lead the people into the land. Well, what if something bad happens? You know, what if they reject me? What if we get... No, I told you to be of good confidence, be of good cheer and confident because you're going to do this. And I'm going to be with you. When you read Psalm 23, you can see that David was confident of the shepherd's leadership. When he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." We've talked about this parable before, this psalm before, and those that are familiar with what sheep are like and what sheep need is that to have them lie down, they have to have no fear of anything around them, that anything else is going to bother them, that there's going to be any predator that's going to get them. So when they lie down in green pastures, when they go and drink the water, they're really defenseless because they can't see around them what is going to happen. And the psalmist says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." So David was confident of the leadership of the shepherd, of course, who is God. In Psalm 48, verse 14, "This is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to death." So there are times that people struggle with, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to do? I don't know what to do. There's difficult decisions that have to be made. And people, sometimes they look ahead and they get disturbed. They get frustrated. They anticipate things not going their way. And maybe sometimes those things happen. The next year may be a time like that. But what you can be confident of is where you can find the answers to everything that is truly important when it comes to your spiritual life, that God is going to guide us through His Word, the Bible that we have, as He always has. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So the Word of God is going to equip us for everything that we need to do. So how much time in the next year will you be searching the Scriptures for guidance from God's Word? Will you be willing to do that? Because Paul tells Timothy, it's all there, everything that we need. Just last week, we talked about Samuel, and Samuel hearing the voice and thinking that it was Eli calling him. And when young Samuel became convinced by Eli that it was God, he responded with a true heart and said, "Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Speak, Lord, your servant listens." And that should be our attitude toward the Word of God always, is to let it speak to us and for us to listen and be obedient. Another thing that we've already alluded to is in the new year, what I anticipate is that God is going to continue to be sovereign. He's going to continue to rule. 2017, I don't know everything that's going to happen. It may be a year that some people think could be tragic. It could be something that could be the opposite of tragic. It could be great. But, you know, what happens sometimes when things go awry, the doubters and scoffers, they cry out against God and they say, "Well, how could this happen? How could God be active in the world today with so much pain and suffering and affliction and sorrow?" And certainly, as you travel around the globe, or if you did travel around the globe, you would see that things may be good on one side of the world, and then on another side, things are, you know, very much the opposite. But what's true in every case is that God is sovereign and God is in control. We need to anticipate God's sovereignty, that He rules. Psalm 66, verse 7 says, He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Psalm 22, verse 28, the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. All we have to remember is God is ruling over the spiritual kingdom. And He rules in our lives. And we need to submit to Him. But you know, nothing that happens politically, whether it's expected or unexpected, welcome or unwelcome, is going to change this. That Christ is going to continue to sit upon His throne. Another thing that we can anticipate is God's judgment. That He will come. Now don't get confused about this. I'm not predicting that in 2017 that He's going to come. Because usually what happens when somebody predicts this, that you can be assured that that's not when it's going to be. So I don't say with any kind of authority that 2017 will be the end. But believers have looked for Christ's return for over 2,000 years. And to some people that seems silly for you to even anticipate it. But John chapter 14, verse 3 says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 4. And the saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that even existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. And some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. John closes the book of Revelation with these words, He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come Lord Jesus. What I'm getting at is that we need to be prepared. And in 2016, those of us that are getting older, and I think this is just part of getting older, is that you start seeing people that you know, that you're familiar with, whether it be your family or friends or celebrities or whatever, those people die. And, you know, I think back at my childhood, I can't think about as much of death having such an impact on me as it does now when I hear of certain people, especially those I'm acquainted with or those that I know because they're famous. Were famous people dying when I was growing up? Yes. They weren't famous to me, maybe. I wasn't really thinking about it. Were friends of my family passing away? Yes, they were. So what's different now? What's different now is that I'm getting old. What's different now is that my father has already passed on and I feel like I'm next. So, what does that mean? What we see
predicted by Peter is that it's going to be a day of judgment. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know when my time will be up. There are many people that we're familiar with whose time ran out that they really didn't know. It may have been that there was an accident. Maybe it was a heart attack. Maybe it was a weather event, car accident. Maybe it was old age. But what we can predict is that someday you're going to die. And someday you're going to have to give an account. So I can't predict what 2017 will bring. And I don't want to end the lesson on a downer. But we do need to think about that, don't we? That as Christians, we should anticipate that God is going to continue to do His work, and that part of His work is that there's going to be a day of judgment. And He has predicted this, and He warned people about it in the first century. Those inspired writers such as Peter were warning people that you need to be prepared, and we still need to be the prepared people for the prepared place. And that's the most important thing that we can do in 2017. We should be anticipating that one day we will be required to give an answer to that great judge. And so we can do that if we will be people that will trust in His judgment, that will trust in His leadership, follow His leadership, be willing to suffer in His name, and not pay attention to what the world think, and look earnestly toward heaven. So I would encourage you to do those things and think on those things in the new year. If we can help anyone who isn't prepared and knows they're not prepared, there's certainly no better time to take care of that than right now. You don't know what the future holds. And you better prepare while you have the opportunity of time that God has given you. If we can help in any way, the invitation to come while we stand and sing.